Our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about why we as God's people ought to pray. Specifically, we were reminded that because our God is sovereign and that he is control of all things, it is a real privilege to be able to play a part in his grand purposes through an active prayer life. This week, we see from this passage in Acts a very similar message, that the purposes of God cannot be stopped. God will indeed take us through many storms in life, many of which will give us great trauma and anguish. But what we need to understand is that they may be a part of God's great plans, not only for our sanctification, but for the salvation of others around us. And even if being a part of this plan means severe hardship and suffering for us, we ought to still be thankful that God considers us worthy to endure them by faith. And in this way, play a part in growing his everlasting kingdom. The record of Paul's shipwreck on his way to Rome shows us that nothing will stop God from achieving his saving purposes. And even through the many storms we will face in this life, God has masterminded our safe arrival to our destination. All we have to do is to trust in the Word of God and recognize its supremacy in our lives. God's Word must be the standard by which we live. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we need to be sure to always turn to His Word first, because His Word contains all that we will ever need, and they will never, ever fail us. Throughout the book of Acts, we see just how the gospel has spread through the various parts of the Roman Empire and how it's now headed towards its capital and most important city, Rome. It is evident how the word of God is being fulfilled here. God's word was spoken either directly to Paul or about Paul already back in chapters 9, 18, 23 and now 27. We read in chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, that God spoke to Ananias regarding Paul. "Go," he says, "for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And in chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, God speaks to Paul in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And in chapter 23, verse 11, even after God appears to Paul and tells him that he must go to Rome and testify about him, Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 whole years. He had to put his apostolic mission to preach the gospel to the Gentiles on hold, and now face a sea voyage full of uncertainty and what at times looks like certain death. What we see in this passage today is God's character on display. There is nothing which he does not know about, and everything is under his control. No one can thwart his purposes, not even big natural disasters like this Euroclydon. We also see God's providence in his people by providing for Paul exactly according to his word. So from verses 13 to 20, we see Paul, his travelling companions, some other prisoners, sailors and soldiers travelling under the guard of a high-ranking Roman centurion called Julius. They were on a tight schedule, trying to sail to Rome before the winter sets in. carrying a shipment of grain. And when they saw the winds easing ever so slightly, they took their opportunity to sail from the coast of Crete, contrary to Paul's advice. Before very long, they were confronted by a wind of hurricane force, probably a typhoon of some sort, called the Euroclydon, making it impossible to steer. And so they gave way to it and let her drive. That's in verse 15. Ships in those days would carry and tow along with them with a rope, a tinny as their lifeboat, referred to here as a skiff. But because of the force of the storm, they had to pull it on board and secure it so as to prevent it from slamming against the ship or even lose it. They also had to use cables to undergird the ship, wrapping chains around the hull so that the boat would not come apart. They let down the sails and let the ship be driven along. And they threw some of the ship's cargo and tackle overboard to lighten the load. And in verse 20 it says, "Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up." This situation was certainly very severe. Luke writes that all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. I think that we often feel like that, don't we? Particularly in this time of lockdown and pandemic. How often do we feel like we just want to throw in the towel? Sometimes we get into trouble in life, perhaps due to our own impatience and not waiting for God for his guidance. Or we may choose to listen to or follow so-called expert advice, which may be contrary to God's will for us, listening to the voice of the majority or taking the more popular or easy route. At other times, hardships and sufferings seem to batter against us wave after wave, for no reason at all, not giving us any kind of rest. Dear friends, should these difficulties in life really surprise us though? Jesus says in John's Gospel, "Yet because you are not of this world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." He continues, "They will persecute you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." That is, they do not know God the Father who sent his son Jesus. Jesus wants us to follow him regardless of the cost. Indeed, it may cost us absolutely everything we have. For most of us, as Christians living in a Western world during the 21st century, it doesn't really cost us anything to follow Christ. But Jesus says, "Be ready, for the time is surely coming." God's words will never ever fail. So what we must do now is to prepare ourselves and be equipped spiritually for when that day does come. We need to ask God to strengthen our faith day by day so that we can confront this persecution and suffering head on, all for his name's sake. I hope that by now, as Christians, we have come to realize that our only hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Paul writes in Romans, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." Everything is to be done for the glory of God, even our very own sufferings. God certainly has a purpose for everything that we face in life. Whether we understand it or not is a different story. He has placed us in the midst of certain circumstances, whether it be this pandemic, a broken marriage, some sort of illness or cancer, or even death. He will also create circumstances which make our lives not seem very glamorous or appealing. Indeed, a severe crisis will show our true character. It is often at the crossroads of life that our real natures are shown. Is our nature rooted in the foundation of Christ? Is our character like that of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because he suffered whilst he was on this earth, taking on our sins and dying for us, even though he was without sin. We must also conform to his image and suffer for the glory of God. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We can see that God didn't exactly give Paul smooth sailing to get to Rome, even though he wanted him to go there and testify for him. God had already made clear that Paul was his chosen instrument to suffer for his name. Paul certainly didn't say or think that it wasn't God's will for him when faced with long delays and much opposition. He simply trusted in God's word. He knew that God's purposes would surely prevail. The 33rd Psalm, which our elder Ben Nelson read for us this morning, also reminds us of that, doesn't it? We see in the next section from verses 21 to 26 just how Paul was able to keep his faith in God and even be an encouragement to all those around him. Paul urges them to keep up their courage, and he reassures them that not one of them will perish, but only the ship will be destroyed. Verses 23 and 24 say, For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. God reaffirms to Paul that he will indeed stand trial in Rome before Caesar. This was God's will for Paul, and Paul acted responsibly in response to God's will. He was obedient to his will. And the fact that verse 24 says that God has granted you the lives of all those who sail with you probably means that Paul had already been earnestly praying to God for him to spare their lives and for the salvation of those around him. God is indeed answering Paul's prayer here. And the key to Paul's faith lies in verse 25. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told. Paul is 100% sure that everything will happen exactly according to the word of God. It is God's word that Paul puts his trust in. Paul maintains his composure throughout the 14 days of this storm, because he held on to God's promises as contained in his word. Sure, we are not likely today to have visions like Paul did, but everything we need to know about God's promises to us is all contained in his written word. God's rich and sure promises are all written here in Scripture. So why is it then that so many people seek for God to give them visions and miraculous signs today? Is real faith based on the things which we can see or the things that are unseen? For all Scripture is God-breathed, and God has truly invested his power in the Bible. Deuteronomy tells us that the word of God is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can obey it. The prophet Isaiah writes, The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And it ought to be our only rule and faith in this life. It is our best weapon against the devil, and described as the sword of the Spirit. Before we became born again Christians, we thought that we could live by bread alone. But we now know that that's not the case at all, but rather we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this brings me to this question. How well do we know the Word of God? How can we come to trust in God's promises through His Word if we don't really know what the Scriptures say? Surely we're not going to rely on what others tell us on a Sunday rather than reading it for ourselves when it concerns our eternal salvation. To borrow the words of one of my teachers, Jared Hood, we ought to be swimming in the ocean of God's Word and not just dipping our toes in a small, muddy puddle. There is so much depth in God's Word for us, but we must approach it the right way. Only God can reveal to us the deep mysteries contained in His Word. Jesus says to us in Matthew, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." So no matter what kind of day you've had, no matter what the circumstances, be sure to open up and read His Word every single day. His Word must reign supreme in our lives. I cannot stress enough the importance of a regular time of daily devotion. When we come before our God in His Word and sincere, humble prayer, our communion and fellowship with Him during that quiet time is just so important and precious for us. It will completely revitalize and transform our lives and our souls beyond what we have even desired or hoped for. In this final section from verses 27 to 44, we'll see a very specific way in which all those on the ship arrived safely to shore. So for 14 days, they were driven across the Adriatic Sea when they sensed that they were drawing near some land. Some of the sailors could not wait any longer and attempted to escape on the skiff. But Paul warned them that they could not be saved unless they stayed in the ship. That's in verse 31. So the centurion ordered the soldiers to cut the ropes which tied the skiff so that it drifted away. Paul then encourages them to have some food, and after giving thanks to God in front of them, he broke the bread and they all ate. When daylight came, they saw a bay with a beach, that's in verse 39, and eventually the ship gets stuck on a sandbar and can no longer move. The soldiers then plan to kill all the prisoners, as if they were to escape, it would be on their heads. But because the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life, he prevented them from carrying out their plan. Those who could swim then swam to land, and the rest made it there on planks and broken pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land safely. So for 14 long days, they were stranded at sea and drifted some 800 kilometres off course. I'm sure that there were times when they wondered whether they would really get out of this one alive. You see, God also has a destination for us. And this destination is far more superior than the great city of Rome. It is our true home, where we really come from. And this destination is written in the Bible that our citizenship, which belongs in heaven. We are mere sojourners in this world. And very often, because of life storms and our lack of faith, we also wonder whether we will get to that destination. Dear friends, through the promises contained in God's words, He wants us to take us to the place where Jesus has gone to prepare for us. But remember that Jesus Himself said that the way is narrow and very difficult to walk. Not many people will find this way and enter the kingdom of heaven. Although there are many things that are wrong in this world, in which we live in. We ought to have full confidence and conviction that God will one day rectify all this. This is our blessed hope. This is our only hope. Please remember that whatever obstacles life is to throw at us, we should be certain that we can overcome them as long as God is with us. The storms we face in this life will give us the opportunity to help others, to serve them and to love them. And sometimes God may even use such opportunities for us to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. God may indeed use our hardships to be able to bear witness to Christ, all for the glory of God. Be grateful for the challenges God places in front of you, because they show that God entrusts you to overcome them so that we can honour his name. Perhaps this kind of thinking ought to be applied to his church today as well. Yes, we may be few in numbers, and yes, this pandemic has put a halt to our gathering together and our abilities to serve one another. We find it difficult to reach out to people and evangelize to them. But his word this morning reminds us that his hand will lead and guide his church, and he will use his church to accomplish his saving purposes. It doesn't matter what confronts us, persecutes us, or seemingly stops us, because if all this is part of God's will for us, there is nothing we need to worry about. We have seen in the news over the last couple of months regarding the Western nations withdrawing their troops out of the country of Afghanistan after 20 years, and the chaos that has arisen in response to it. We have even heard of the reports that Christians who are currently serving there have taken their stance and said that they are not going anywhere, that they are willing to risk their lives under Taliban rule and continue in the work that God has assigned to them. And even more recently, we have also heard of news coming from countries in Africa, such as Nigeria, whereby large groups of militia are specifically targeting Christian schools, abducting their students and holding them for ransom. These are the children of many who are Christian missionaries serving God and the people of that country. Can you imagine the fear and the suffering that these young children are going through? It's easy for us who hear of these stories to ask the question, where is God in all of this? If we say that our God is a just God and is in control of all things, why does he allow such injustice, evil, and pain to be upon the very same people who serve him and love him? We need to repent and ask God for his forgiveness when we come to think this way. That because we are his children and that we walk with him every day, that these things simply won't happen to us. That if we are living according to God's will, we should expect a trouble-free life. This simply is not the kind of faith that God gives to his people. And so the question has often been asked of these missionaries, why do you keep going back to these dangerous countries where your lives are clearly at risk every single day due to the different threats and persecution? Why do you continue to put the lives of your families at risk, bringing your own children up in such hostile environments? And the answer that we often get back is, because God wants me there, and his will for me is to serve him there. And that is the safest and the most secure place for me and my family to be in. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts so that we can come to know you more and more and to love you more and more. Strengthen us, O Lord, during these difficult times, and help us to be people who are living according to the will that you have given for us. We thank you, Lord, that in your mercy you will not burden us beyond more than we can bear. Help us to be obedient to you and to be attentive to your voice. Help us to place our trust in your word that you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to worship you this morning. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.